Let us pray. Mighty God, you breathe life into our bones, and your Spirit brings truth to the world now and in all the ages. Bless these words proclaimed and the meditation of our hearts to kindle flames anew through the love of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Before I begin, I want to thank my friends and colleagues Eric and Courtney Reedman Parker of the ELCIC, as well as Archbishop Michael Curry of the Episcopal Church for the sermon inspiration this week. I think preachers around the world are wondering today how any sermon could possibly be more inspiring than the one delivered at St. George Chapel at Windsor Castle by Archbishop Michael Curry at the royal wedding of Harry and Meghan this weekend. Did any of you guys see that? Yeah? Oh, yeah, that's great. Wasn't that inspiring? Yeah. I don't think the Church of England will recover anytime soon. It was delivered with such fire and such power that I wonder if the church ought to recover from it at all. Much like Pentecost, after 7 weeks of celebrating the resurrection, we have now moved from the great joy of the season of Easter to the day of Pentecost. For much of Christian history, Pentecost has been the third great festival of the church alongside Christmas and Easter. Pentecost tells the story of the Holy Spirit coming to the disciples and equipping them to proclaim the gospel. This day is also known as the birth of the church, the day that the community of believers called the body of Christ was established with its mission to proclaim the gospel to all nations and all people. Pentecost was a confusing day, with many being uncertain exactly what was going on. The same might be said for St. George Chapel yesterday, judging by some of the reactions on the faces of the esteemed wedding guests in the pews. Did you see those? The reactions to Archbishop Michael's powerful sermon. But sometimes it's confusing when the Holy Spirit enters the church. In the 2,000 years since, Christians haven't done much better to figure out exactly what's going on with the church. But in the past few years, especially as our world rapidly changes around us, making sense of what the church is and what it's all about has been especially difficult and confusing. Even just a few decades ago, church used to make a lot more sense to most Canadians. Church was just something you did. It was something everybody did. Many of you came to church because that's what you were supposed to do. People came because parents and grandparents came. You came because there was nothing really else to do on a Sunday morning. You came because that is what good people did. Church attendance and membership was an expectation. Sure, there were Anglicans and United and Catholics and Lutherans and Baptists and Pentecostals and Presbyterians. There were French and English and Irish and Scottish and Germans and Norwegians, Swedes, Icelanders, Ukrainian. But everyone was Christian, and we were all Canadians. The differences were small. The similarities were large and made sense. People went to church because it was expected, and everyone was doing it. And then people started asking why. Our kids and grandkids, our friends and neighbors started asking, why do we go to church? Now, I remember as a young child going to church with my family, but not because we were Christians that went to church because it was the thing to do, but because we were not Christians, and hospitable Christians, friends, invited us to come to their church. But I remember asking my father, why do people go to church? And my father, a Trinidadian Hindu and new Canadian who loved to engage anyone in their exploration of faith, he said to me, because that's what Canadians do. Now, I wish I could ask him if he ever got that question answered. All of a sudden, the reasons that were good enough for generations weren't good enough anymore. Because you were supposed to. Because parents and grandparents go. Because there is nothing else on Sunday. Because that is what good people do wasn't a good enough answer for why do we go to church. And the questions kept coming. The whys kept being asked. The only answers that we had after a while was, don't ask questions. Just do it. And then people stopped coming. Kids and grandkids, friends and neighbors. People didn't have answers because for so long they were just supposed to go to church. And people forgot to tell each other why. Why? Our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, our new friends and neighbors in a new country, our pastors, our Sunday school teachers, our church leaders, they didn't tell us why going to church was really important. And so we didn't learn why. On that first day of Pentecost, as the disciples are gathered together, things have been pretty confusing since Easter. Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus has appeared to them in a locked room, along roads, and finally on mountaintops. And now Jesus has left them, but not alone. Jesus has left them a promised advocate, a spirit. But who among them knew what that really meant? Their world was just as confusing as ours. It was full of non-believers, of people who didn't care or even know about who Jesus was, people of different religions, people of different backgrounds and different experiences. They experienced this incredible event with their master, Jesus, but they didn't know what to do with it. Why would people care? Why would people think that this was important? And then there is a rushing of wind, and there are tongues of fire resting on them, and they are compelled to go out into the streets and tell the story of Jesus. Now, our world has become a lot like the world of the disciples. People are more different than they are the same. There are Hindus and Muslims and Buddhists and Jews and atheists. People from the Middle East, from India, from China, from Southeast Asia, from Africa. People who speak different languages and carry different values. People who might wonder, like I did as a kid, why going to church or being a Christian is important. And so we have found ourselves in a very similar situation to the disciples on the Pentecost feast. We have this experience of Jesus, of faith, but we're not kind of sure what we're supposed to do with it. But can you hear that? Can you feel it? The wind is blowing here too. The Holy Spirit is moving around and among us too in this Pentecost moment. We have been gathered and huddled away in churches for a long time now, and we have been waiting for people to just start coming back to church again, waiting for the world around us to figure out that going to church is what people are supposed to do. But the world isn't doing that. Instead, the world is pushing back against the trappings of imperial Christianity, the Christianity that enforced itself on everyone. There is shopping and sports on Sundays. Did you know that there was sports on Sundays? Who knew? No more prayer in schools. No more pastors praying at city council meetings. Fewer religious columns in the newspaper. It used to be bishops and national presidents of churches that would phone prime ministers directly, and now politicians don't even know that churches exist. But the wind is still blowing, and the Holy Spirit is up to something. The disciples gathered were sent out into the streets. They were sent speaking many languages so that all could understand. They were sent to preach to all the nations. The Holy Spirit gave to them what they needed to preach the gospel. And yet that first Pentecost tells us more about God's mission, more about God's plan for the world than just a group of disciples speaking in tongues. The disciples went out to preach the gospel. The disciples adapted their message to their hearers. They met people where they were. They preached to all nations. They showed us that God speaks in many, many voices to allow us all to hear this great message of love. They didn't expect anyone or everyone to become like them. They didn't wait for the world to come to them. They didn't tell people to come to church because they should and they just shouldn't ask any questions. They preached the why. They told the story of Jesus that they had experienced. They announced the crucified and risen Christ. They announced God's plan to save all people and all creation. They told those who would listen of God's grace given for everybody. Their message was convicted and ablaze with passion. Now, not unlike how Archbishop Michael Curry reminded the world at the royal wedding that God is love and love is the way. He proclaims the message of God's love with a fire, not unlike those early disciples saying, "If you don't believe me, just stop and think and imagine. Think and imagine." Think and imagine in a world where love is the way. Imagine our homes and families when love is the way. Imagine neighborhoods and communities where love is the way. Imagine governments and nations where love is the way. Imagine businesses and commerce when love is the way. And imagine this tired old world when love is the way. And that first Pentecost moment is a reminder that the Holy Spirit is working here and now, among us. And the Holy Spirit is preparing us for a new church. As Archbishop Michael preached, when love is the way, unselfish, sacrificial, redemptive. When love is the way, then no child will go to bed hungry in this world ever again. When love is the way, we will let justice roll down like a mighty stream and righteousness like an ever-flowing brook. When love is the way, poverty will become history. When love is the way, the earth will be a sanctuary. When love is the way, we will lay down our swords and shields down by the riverside to study war no more. When love is the way, there's plenty of good room, and I love that he repeated this, plenty of good room for all of God's children, because when love is the way, we actually treat each other well, like we are actually family. When love is the way, we know that God is the source of all of us, and we are brothers and sisters, children of God. My brothers and sisters, that's a new heaven and a new earth, a new world, a new human family. Our Pentecost moment is a new church being born among us, a church that isn't dependent on empire, that doesn't have kingdoms and governments that serve it. A church that doesn't need to have all other activities banned during worship because it's Sunday morning. A church that doesn't need its prayers taught in school. A church that doesn't need to influence government and politicians. The Holy Spirit is blowing among us now, breathing life into a new church. a church set on fire to tell the world why Jesus means something to them, a church prepared to answer those why questions, a church prepared to go out and serve the world around it. 2,000 years ago, as the Spirit came amongst the disciples and gave them tongues of fire to preach the gospel in many tongues to all nations, the reception they received was mixed. Some thought they were insane or drunk, while others heard the gospel. But how people responded wasn't the point. The point was that God was speaking in many and various ways. God was speaking to all nations, all people, not exclusively to some and not to others. God was speaking, and God still speaks. 2,000 years later, as the Holy Spirit prepares us for this new Pentecost moment, God is speaking to us in many and various ways, speaking to us in unexpected voices and unexpected ways. God is speaking to us through in ways that we would never imagine just a few years ago, not only in different languages, but to all people in many mediums, by word of mouth, through books, TV, films, maybe even through royal weddings, through social media. If Pentecost were to happen today, it might just happen on Facebook. It might happen on Twitter and on the 24-hour news. It could happen in newspaper, books, and TV. It would happen over the phone and on the buses and over backyard fences and in coffee shops. In fact, God is already speaking in those places. Pentecost is happening today and right now all around us. God is speaking in places we would never have imagined, in ways that our parents and grandparents would never would have imagined, and they probably would be aghast over. We used to think that the Word of God only came from pulpits. And so we all gathered in front of one week after week. But now pulpits are everywhere, hidden in plain sight. The wind of the Spirit is blowing all around us. Pentecost is here and now. The gospel is being preached. And it is with many voices that God is speaking. And it is with our voice too, that God is announcing God's plan to save all of creation. God is telling the world that the crucified and risen Christ has come to save. This is the story that gives us spirit. And this is our story to tell. Amen.